welcome to Strange New Takes. I'm your host, Notch Garnigan, with me, trying to remember what happened in Discovery are...
Adam Bowen.
Rudy Gate.
And Emily Bowen Marler. Welcome to Strange New Takes. It's been a while, y'all. Today, we'll be sharing a recap of what we're pretty sure happened on Discovery up until now. We'll see.
Follow us on social media. That's at Strange New Takes on Facebook and Instagram. Tell your friends about the podcast. Give us a 5-star rating on podcasts, even though we don't remember the show that we're about to talk about. Do that, and then we will be able to be visible to other people.
And last but not least, we will spoil Discovery for y'all, definitely for ourselves, because we don't remember much.
We might not spoil it. Who knows?
Yeah, we won't know. So that's what makes this exciting, Adam. That's what warrants a 5-star rating, because, you know, y'all will learn about Discovery one way or the other if you don't know already. And if you do, you can point out our flaws. We'd love to hear that.
This is going to be podcasting at its finest, I think.
Yeah, so just to go into, y'all have been alluding to what we're going to do today, but just to go into a little bit more detail, we are basically going to prepare for the actual launch of the season 5 Discovery premiere, which I believe is coming out on the 4th of 8. Yep, 4/4/24. And we're going to prepare for that by trying to recap what's happened to Discovery. I don't know about y'all, I'm not one of those people who's like, oh, that's right, Star Trek Discovery Season 1, Episode 5. That's the one where blah, blah, specifics, blah, blah, blah. Like, I vaguely remember most of what happened in Discovery, but I haven't done a full rewatch. So, I don't have perfect recall. So, I thought it would be good for us to get together and be like, okay, so what happened in the show so far?
Well, and you know what's sad is I actually did try to do a rewatch of Discovery, and this is not a testimony to the quality of Discovery. This is a testimony to the craziness of my life. I made it halfway through the second episode, which is still considered the premiere of Discovery. So so that's as far. So like Georgiou, she's still alive. is where I left off. Like original, like, you know.
Yeah.
Prime universe Georgiou. She is Georgiou.
Yeah.
They say it differently. I was learning that when I was watching the episode. I was like, everyone seems to say her name differently.
Anyway, a proud Star Trek tradition. Even Picard does not know how to pronounce Bajor.
Bajor. Yes, Bajor. Yeah, exactly. Oh, goodness.
All right. So let's do this. We haven't done episode in a long time, let alone Strange New Takes. So why don't we start with our Strange New Takes? And we don't really have Strange New Takes for the episode this time. So we can just do Strange New Takes for whatever the hell you want.
But you're the first one on the list here.
I know. I'm trying to think of something to say.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, my strange new take is that something that you do for years and years, and then you stop doing for a little bit, and then you come back. You really have to, like, it's not like, you know, just a nice comfy pair of slippers that you slip back on. You got to, like, remember how to, like, set up the software, get the mics going. Like, it takes a second to be like, okay, how did I used to do this? And you feel like kind of like an idiot because you're like, I used to do this every freaking week with no, like, brain power at all. And now I have to, like, remember. It's pretty weird.
Yeah, I already ruined like the first 30 seconds of this by hitting stop.
Yeah, it's like, oh yeah,
dropped my mic. Sorry about the audio there.
it's like walkie-talkie, right? You got to hit the button when you speak and hit stop when you're done. And yeah.
Oh my goodness. Well, I guess let's see. My strange new take is, so we got new floors in most of our house because we had carpet. And we have an elderly dog, and it was just getting annoying cleaning it. And we just were feeling like we couldn't ever get it clean. So we got new carpet, or not new carpet. That would have been dumb. We got new LVP throughout most of the house. And now I find myself having to clean everything in my house, which I don't really have time to do right now. But I'm like cleaning all the baseboards. And then I like discover this one area when we go into this room. I'm like, oh, that looks really dingy. I got to get out my little brush and start cleaning that. And it's just, if you give a mouse a cookie, that's what Jenny always says. Whenever I start talking about this, it's like one thing leads to the next and I'm still not done cleaning everything.
Yeah, the pro tip is not having floor that if you like bend your head down, the light can catch every single like thing that has ever touched it. So
I'm a little obsessive with the dustbuster. I'm always like, oh, gotta go dust bust that again.
All right, so I was just telling my co-podcast hosters, is that the right way to say it?
Co-hosts,
yeah.
See, we don't know how to do this anymore.
forget Discovery. I forgot how to call ourselves out. So I was gone for at least 20 weeks in this podcast stint last year. And so I have a lot to communicate in terms of Strange New Takes. So, yeah, we could just talk about me for the rest of the episode if you want to.
Yeah, you've got like at least an hour and a half of takes to give us.
Yeah, but I'll try and break it up into two buckets. What have I been up to and what's coming up next? So, or what will I like to talk about that I did not bring up and since I was not here, and then what am I doing next? So, yeah, it'll just be 5 minutes max, guys, I promise. So I think nobody brought up, if we have any of our listeners from last year, people would know that I have a special passion for space and missions and the international aspect of that. And I don't think anybody brought up the fact that on this podcast, at least, that India finally soft landed on the moon after two attempts. And so that was really good. I was busy watching that early in the morning in panic mode, and I felt I felt great to cheer my own country and not like live off American race for a bit. So that was awesome. And there's this cool podcast that actually picked up on this chat called MECO, Main Engine Cutoff, and I was listening to their take on the Chandrayaan landing, and it's so cool. Like, there's all these people that track these launches you know, around the world just for fun, and all they have is like maybe some radio data and then pictures that the space agency doing the launches releases. And for example, they were tracking the pictures of Chandrayaan to kind of make sense of where it had landed on this, because it was the first landing on the South Pole, first successful landing in the South Pole area. And the way they were figuring that out was by the angle of the solar panels, right, in the pictures, because the sun is always going to be low on the horizon. So that's pretty cool. And the orientation of the, whatever, the mothership, the rover coming out of it. So... and there's a few that have gone since then. A couple failed. One landed on its head, but still worked, I think, if I remember correctly. So I'm looking forward to this new age of different private and you know, international level organizations or countries going to the moon. I think it sets us up for a little bit of an expanse, or, you know, for all mankind type of reality. So that's my what's been happening before take. I went and watched Dune 2 yesterday 70mm IMAX. I think it was pretty good. I was a little let down in how it finished. Maybe I had very high expectations, but if anybody has opinions, happy to discuss. And then last but not least, I am going to be traveling with, I think, tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of other people, apparently, to view the total eclipse going to cut across Texas and a lot of the middle and northeast of the United States.
I think we're going to try to
really
do that
excited
too.
About that.
Yeah, it's interesting because the last one that kind of cut across from the Pacific Northwest and then cut across the country was also right near St. Louis. That one, like, you actually could see from there. I think I have to go a little bit further east or way
further
south.
Are you
going to
go?
Probably not.
It's on a Monday, though. Yeah,
be close enough in the sense of, like, I'll get to see kind of like the... It'll look strange for sure. Yeah. So I think it'll still be cool to look at it from our house, but yeah, for my strange new take, I guess like maybe the major update is I had a kid. So that's great. She's pretty awesome. So, right now we're dealing with some, potential hand, foot and mouth stuff happening from the, daycare. From the daycare. So far she's not showing any signs. So hopefully that's not a thing.
Won't get it.
So one of the, I hear it's not that big of a deal, but it sounds gross. So I kind of just don't want
it. I'm pulling for y'all to get it the way we got it, where we just had no idea until after the fact. We're like, oh, that's what that was.
Yeah. I have heard that that's a possibility. So I'm if we have to do it, that would be great to just be like, oh, it's why you were like drooling extra or something.
Let me tell you here, pro tip. This is my pro tip as a parent that I've learned. If your kid has lots and lots and lots of fevers, ear tubes. Good Lord. He's had no fever since we got ear tubes. It's been crazy.
Oh, wow. So, I haven't heard the actual update on how that changed things. So,
no fevers. That's how. So he can go to school sick now. Because the rule is you can't, if you're not throwing up and you don't have a fever, you can go to school.
Nice. The other bit is I just started playing Horizon Forbidden West, and Horizon Zero Dawn I think is like some of the best like sci-fi that I've experienced like in any kind of medium. So I'm excited to get into Horizon Forbidden West. I don't have a PlayStation, so this is my first chance to get into it. So
fun. Well, I'm sure we'll have updates on all of those things in the couple of months to come as Discovery gives us new episodes. But right now we need to talk about like what actually happened in Discovery by season. I don't think we need to go into a super amount of detail, but I think what would be helpful is to be like, okay, so we have four seasons, one by one. What happened? And I have Memory Alpha open in case we all forget.
Takuvma. I remember that name.
Ooh.
I think it was more like Kukumra.
Yeah, Kukumra.
It's like Marlon Brando and The Godfather has like mouthful of gauze.
I'd just like to say, Emily, that the part that you got through, like the first two episodes, are for me the best two episodes in Discovery.
I do really not to show
that the rest were terrible, but I got so excited seeing those two.
One, it was the first Star Trek that we'd had in
it was magical feeling that and kind of being there for that. I think I'm still sad that we don't get to see like what Brian Fuller was up to when he sort of like wrote that out, since we kind of we got those and they just did a hard cut to the rest of the series.
Well, and you know, makes me real. Like, I'm just thinking like of all the different Star Trek series that we've gotten since Discovery kind of relaunched this whole Star Trek extravaganza that we have. No other show has been plagued with as many problems as Discovery's had as far as showrunners goes. Is that right? Haven't the other ones been fairly...
Picard has changed it every single time also.
Oh, no, that's true. That's true. Picard had some... But then, so second half of season two and season three of Picard were steady. I think that was all Terry Metallis.
But I think like Strange New Worlds, I think it's been Akiva Goldsman both times. And I mean, I guess the drama filled in the sense of Prodigy certainly had its share of drama of just like getting canceled and deleted.
It's been the same.
Apparently it's all dropped in France. So
yay France! I guess
if Stephen Ohio speaks French, you can. That's a callback to something that we said like 8 months ago. I don't even know if anyone remembers that.
Stephen Ohio does.
But,
and we determined that is not our Uncle Steve in Ohio.
Okay, so great.
I don't think he watches Star Trek.
Yeah, so maybe this one does speak French. You can go watch all of Prodigy if you probably VPN over into something
is it dubbed or is it subtitled?
I think it's dubbed. There's only a French audio track, so you don't get any Kate Mulgrew or whatever. I don't know if they like purposely. Part of me like hopes that they found like the same dub actress that did did Janeway in Voyager and brought him back, but who knows?
Okay,
it's a good way to learn. It's a good way to practice or learn the language, right?
There you go.
Yeah,
Yeah, they're going to release it sometime in 2024 in the US with its, presumably with the English voice track.
Still French. We lost everything else. Sorry, yeah, guys.
Deal with it. So that'll come out. Okay, all right. Back to Discovery Season 1. So as Emily mentioned, was in the first episode.
Sounds like a cough.
Right. The T'Kuvma like gets this rogue band of Klingons together, and which includes this dude Voke, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is Voke? Yeah, Voke.
Yeah. He's in that first episode,
and they like use the some signal to get all the clans together, and because it's
like some sort of beacon.
Yeah, because just sending a message saying "Hey, come by" is not effective, but ancient beacon saying "Hey, come by," that's the ticket. Those funny Klingons, and so they get together and they're like, "Cool, let's attack the Federation." And the Shenzhou shows up, with Captain Georgiou on hand, gets destroyed, and then we have like a flash forward, which is, I think, some of us, like, it was kind of like disorienting in some ways for me. It was like, oh, we got a starship. Oh, it's gone. Now it's like years in the future. And then Lorca is recruiting Burnham from prison.
Yeah, I think it's just 6 months. But there is a time jump there. And the
war with the Klingons starts.
I'm still a little bit like the whole Burnham being like the first mutineer thing in Starfleet, like, one, that seems unlikely that Starfleet went an entire century without a single mutineer, but I think that the thing that kind of one of the things that threw me off about season one of Discovery is like, I don't know actually what Burnham did wrong, except like, yes, you shouldn't punch your captain or Vulcan nerve pinch them, but like, it seems like everyone blames her for the war, and I don't see how she did that. It seems like if she had actually been able to like fire first, that it might have been like the Vulcans, and she would have succeeded, and there wouldn't have been a war. So the thing that I'm mad at Discovery about is like, I don't think she did anything wrong. I think if she was in another Star Trek series, they would have been like, you shouldn't do things like that.
I mean, Data did way worse, right?
Yeah. You should think about what you did.
Data would do way worse in the future. So because of Burnham's example,
this is true.
They just let it go.
By the 24th century, they've forgiven everything.
Because they're do you remember that time when Burnham did this and we made it a big deal, but it wasn't as big of a deal? So we just have to let everyone, we need to let the story run its course before we punish them.
Exactly. Unless you're Tom Paris, we'll like demote you for 6 months or something.
This fucker. So then Lorca recruits Burnham, and they meet on the Discovery, and everyone on the Discovery bridge is like, when she walks in there as Specialist Burnham, and nobody wants to sit with her except this wacky, crazy lady who is also her roommate. That's about as far as my memory of season one goes, except then there's a break, and then suddenly we're in the mirror universe, and everything is wild.
Well, I was going to say, and there are definitely, like, I remember, so the big thing I remember about season one of Discovery is that I was having a really hard time with Lorca as the captain because I didn't feel about him the way I felt about every other captain who headed up our different Star Trek series. I just felt like he was not a good guy. Turns out there was a reason why I felt that way. But it was like, but they were really, there were some pretty broad hints that things were not as they appeared. And there were some troubling aspects to his character. But then every once in a while,
fortune cookies.
Right. Yeah. But then every once in a while, they would do something where you're like, oh, okay, no, that was a pretty good decision he just made. So maybe he's not, so I think they were trying to screw with us.
Yeah, like with the, I forget the name of the episode, but where Harry Mudd is like killing him over and over again. I remember having moments of
magic to make the sanest man go mad. Is that
it
one?
It is.
Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah.
I'm so proud of myself.
Nice. Anyway, yeah. So that's like the only you called out that we don't remember specific things. Emily does.
No, that's the only one. I could not tell you another single title of an episode of Discovery. So.
But the, I feel like there were moments, yeah, where I felt bad, or yeah, it felt like there was a hint of like, no, that he's like, there's something here. I feel like one of the things that I had gotten myself like excited about a little bit was the possibility, and I guess Discovery eventually did explore this kind of stuff, but the idea of how like post-traumatic stress can it's like to actually deal with that. And I thought that they were going that direction with Lorca, where they showed like they had some idea of like, oh, well, maybe he's like so messed up because he like felt he had to be in order to survive. And like what kind of things did the war do to him? Which honestly, I think still would have been a really interesting like storyline to go down. But instead he was Space Hitler.
That his ship. He went down, like his ship was entirely destroyed. Mm-hmm. And like everyone was lost except him.
And yes. Probably he caused that on purpose because they knew that he was near Lorca, so he probably destroyed that ship on his own. I don't know.
My impression is just that the ship was destroyed on its own and then he came through the portal and they found him. So it was kind of like a...
Oh, that's entirely possible.
So there is no prime Lorca that he was replacing.
Yeah, it was just that like the ship was destroyed. That, I mean, who knows? We'll see what happens in this season. They might bring him back.
Well, they're in a different century, though, so probably not.
Has that ever stopped Star Trek?
He's in a transporter buffer.
Like, you know. Rimmer and Riker showed up on Voyager, like...
But that's the same century.
Yeah, but they were, like, mega thousands of miles away.
This is mega thousands of years.
They had Abraham Lincoln as a big head in space.
That's true.
Like, yeah, you know, we had God stealing starships.
And in case we forgot about that, they made sure to bring it back in Lord Hex.
So okay, here's the deal.
What does God want with a starship? Think, okay, go ahead.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you. Someone did it. What did any of you have? I remember distinctly thinking that the season one part one and season one part two, the tone of the show shifted pretty dramatically with the writing. Like, does that ring a bell to any of you? Because like I remember it just being like a completely different show after we came back from the break and like. Basically, after the stuff the old writers had done got replaced by the new writers.
Well, and I'm trying to remember
even partway through the the premiere, like the episode that's on the second half of the episode that's only on. Oh, okay, you're meaning episode one and episode three.
I'm trying to think. No, there was a break between like 7 and 8 or
yeah, it's 9 and 10. Seasons. Chapter one and chapter two of season one.
Yeah,
it just feels like a very different Star Trek.
Absolutely does.
So we already had Ash Tyler before that break, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then so people were starting to talk over the break over whether or not he was Voke. But we didn't have the reveal yet until... How was it like a 6-week break that they gave us? Or was it a month?
It looks like it was 2 months.
2 months,
Okay. It I remember it being substantial.
I think I do remember it being a different... having a different tone.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost entirely in the mirror universe in the second half. And they also kind of mostly deleted the whole Klingon War thing because by the time they come back, it's basically the Federation has lost until like, oopsie, let's go nuke Kronos. And that's how we solve the war.
So... Yeah. I think that's another quick point, which is that one of the major plot points in the season was our friend Ash Tyler, who turns out to have been Voke all along, turned into a human through some sort of genetic funny business and brain transfer. What was the Klingon lady's name? I forget now.
Laurel,
who is Voke's like buddy, is also around lover. Yeah, I was trying to be nice.
Hey, there's something wrong. Yeah.
No, there's really not. And, buddy
with benefits.
There you go.
Yeah, exactly. So then basically we end up in a situation where there's the Mirror Universe episodes, and then we find out that Lorca is actually Mirror Universe. That's why he puts that stuff in his eye, because everyone from the Mirror Universe has eye problems when they come into our universe. And I think that's where season one ends.
Yeah, pretty much. We do some weird like space Nazi stuff, and then get stabbed through the heart, thrown into a sun.
Yeah. There's some like mirror universe. Something, yeah. Yeah, like some sort of mirror universe shenanigans.
Oh, I don't think they said that.
We remember some Star Trek.
Yeah. So then that's season one. Oh, by the way, also, Michael Burnham is Spock's sister. Hope y'all remember that part.
Well, we don't know. Do we know that in season one? Maybe.
Yeah, yes, yeah, yeah. It's the only reason we watched the series is because...
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that's right. That's right. We knew that she was raised by Sarek. That's right.
See, I told you. We have Sarek.
That's a big spoiler, y'all.
That's a big spoiler. I will also say... This is going to be a bit of a hot take, so I apologize. And in particular, I apologize to James Frayne, who is fantastic as Thomas, not Thomas More. Who is the other Thomas who is under Henry VIII as Chancellor? Anyway, James Frayne played a great character in the show, The Tudors. I thought he was a substandard Sarek compared to both of the other Sareks that we have had in Star Trek.
Certainly didn't have, like I... In Star Trek 2009, I even though he didn't look anything like Sarek, like he looked very Vulcan in a way that I remember being like, yeah, that's a good Sarek. Good Sarek.
Yeah.
Yeah. So all right. Sarek is also back. So then we get to season two, which was, I feel like, in my opinion, some of the best Discovery has done.
I think season two is good, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, season two, if you recall, is we meet Jet Reno, Captain Pike. Like, in the first episode, it's like, hello, you don't have a captain, you need one. I'm here with my colorful outfit. But then I'm going to go into this more muted outfit, but keep the hair.
But then be awesome.
I do. Jet Reno feels like the most underutilized character.
Huh?
Jet Reno is just like the most underutilized character, but like every moment we see her is just like, this is amazing.
Yeah. So initially Discovery is going to be,
yeah,
Pike is taking Discovery back to like space dock or something, but then he finds out that Spock is gone, which also, hey, guess what? Spock's sister's on your ship. So like, we got to go find Spock. Right. And
he's got a beard now.
Yeah. He's got a beard. You don't understand me, Dad. I'm different now.
And we get Amanda, and she's pretty great.
And I think it was, they chose well with their Amanda.
I think their Amanda is really good. I think
I don't know that I've they cast felt her really well. Like any of the Amandas were bad, though. I guess to be fair,
but I think they've done some really good things with Amanda that they didn't do in any of the other iterations. Well, and actually, they've done so. It started in Discovery, and it's been really nice to see them carry that over into Strange New Worlds.
Mia Kirshner playing Amanda Grayson, Spock's mother, and they also have Burnham's mother show up, very, very
as the red
mother
angel.
Heavy season as the Red Angel. That I think it lives in infamy as one of the dumbest moments in Star Trek for me. It's like, oh, who's the Red Angel? It's Michael Burnham's mother.
Oh no, the dumbest moment is the end of season three. But
yeah, we'll get to that.
We'll get there.
I think, but that's okay. So just one little bit of meta commentary. I think this is Discovery's problem. If it tried to be a little less quote unquote epic, it would be great. It was just like, you know, there was a little explosion and the burn happened because of some dumb stuff rather than it was this kid and his mother and, you know, or
and the
like,
emotions were so epic that they.
Yeah. And it's like Michael Burnham's in prison and everyone hates her. It could just be like, no, Michael Burnham's in prison. Nobody thinks about her anymore. You know, like we don't.
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't need her to be Star Trek's episode. Worst.
That's a great way to
prisoner.
Start a series. Is have some like drumhead or whatever. Or...
Yeah, yeah, and like Captain Pike could arrive on a shuttle. He doesn't have to come on the Enterprise. Like, you know, it's just like everything is very epic in Discovery, and it's. I think season two was very much one of those. So, all right. So we get Amanda. We get Burnham's mom, whose name
and
I
we
can't
have control.
Remember. I was going to say, then we have the evil admirals, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So is that, did we have any bad admirals in season one? Or did we just have bad Lorca?
No, I think that's what it was, is we balanced out our bad tin with a good Merle. The first good Merle in all of Star Trek.
Yeah, she is good. Jane Brooke, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what was her name?
She made some questionable decisions, but it was because he was not the person that she thought he was. So, right. Yeah.
Right, right. Yeah, I liked her. They got rid of her at the end of season two. I remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but an explosion.
But I guess they get rid of everybody.
It was a good classic Star Trek death. She was well served by that.
Well, and you know, they did have some good classic kind of Star Trek episodes in that season too. Like that weren't all the epic kind of things. Like, was it the New Eden? That was a cool episode, I remember.
Where they go to the planet that doesn't have technology, it's just a bunch of humans that are that was a great episode.
The one where they
find Jed Reno and like she's like keeping a bunch of her crewmates alive in a derelict ship.
Yeah, that was a great episode. And I'm trying to think, there was another episode.
I do think in general, like Discovery does its best when it has just a close focus on its characters and like kind of lets them like explore things. Like we don't need to blow up entire planets. We don't need to kind of save the entire galaxy or all of existence in every metaverse and multiverse or whatever. Right. But
speaking of which, Control, which you mentioned earlier, was the computer entity that had been created by joining all of data. Remember when it was like, and humanity has all this data, so clearly we're going to create a terrible AI. And now we're like living that stuff. The AI is everywhere. Discovery is that you will in the far future. Like,
that's what Star Trek does. They always say these things are in the far future, and then a couple years later,
it's refreshing to have it actually get back to that, because I feel like a lot of times it's like they try to have this far future thing. It's like, my computer already looks better than that thing. I don't know what you're going on about.
Do y'all think like Sam Altman saw like season two Discovery, then got freaked out, quit, and then he went to season three and was like, nah, don't need to worry about it. I'm back.
That's hilarious. Hilarious. So Control not only exists, but then it like takes over that Section 31 dude by like infiltrating his body with nanobots.
And while then telling him resistance is futile. But
And like all these admirals that were like talking to our ship the whole time, they were dead and floating around in like a derelict station this whole time.
I just remembered something else that happened in season two. That's when Saru has that evolution thing.
Yep, like when his like
spines or whatever.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, and he's not afraid anymore. His little
and we find out the Kelpians are actually being kept prisoner by this other race because they when they lose their ganglia, they become like basically, well, they had been genociding these other aliens on the planet, and so then the power shifted, which was, you know, again a good like moral ambiguity episode. It was and good backstory as well. So anyway, at the end we find out Control has a fleet of ships that it controls, and they have a big battle, and we learn in like somewhere in the midst of the battle that Control can never be defeated. It must be taken into the future
because of the sphere data. They have that sphere.
That's really
important for what happens in subsequent seasons. So we needed to mention the sphere.
What's the sphere again? I've completely forgotten the sphere.
Didn't they come in? But they downloaded all of the information onto the sphere, and that's how they found out some of the history between the
ancient intelligence that is the size of a planet.
Just controlling data the whole time. Yep, I remember now. Yep.
And so
we can't let the data fall into the hands of the computers today, so we must take it 900 years into the future.
Yes.
And then Discovery volunteers to do that, and nobody writes a note to their families.
And they have to
They delete everybody, actually, so that, Discovery did that.
Burnham has to go by herself.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, no more Discovery. Anyway, sorry, we were talking over each other.
There was
all stuff
great.
That happened, though. That's basically how it was in Discovery. It was all these things happening all at once on top of each other.
I just love that we're now in a Star Trek universe of the ultimate retcon where it's like, shh, nobody say anything about this Discovery show that happened. Like, nothing happened. Everybody keep quiet.
So
then Discovery ends up in the future. By the way, we forgot to mention also that another cool thing that happens in season two is that they retcon the cage into the show.
Yeah.
Which is pretty cool. Yeah. And we have Pike throughout the season learning of his imminent demise, and which plays into Strange New Worlds as well. Mm-hmm. I thought the time crystal things on the Klingon planet a little bit inconsistent with Star Trek lore and causes some continuity problems, but still pretty cool. That was a great episode.
That was a good episode. That was a really good episode.
Yeah, it was a good use of a bad device.
Yes,
yeah, we should
Kenneth
mention
Mitchell.
Ken Mitchell. Yep.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Emily.
Oh, I just say Kenneth Mitchell, rest in peace. He passed away a few weeks ago. And I just want to give a shout out to Anson Mount has a podcast called The Well, and he did an interview of Kenneth Mitchell, I think back in 2019 or 2020 on the Star Trek cruise. It might have been 2020, the one right before everything shut down. But it's a great interview. And he had it on the original feed, but he re-released it right after he passed away. So it's after he's already had his diagnosis. He's already in a wheelchair. But I mean, I cried through half the episode or half the podcast episode, but it was really good. And just really nice to hear his story and sad what happened. And there are just, and it was kind of cool how many jobs he still got after he had been diagnosed and was starting to experience some of the effects of ALS. There were still production companies that were committed to letting him work and making the accommodations necessary. Anyway, it was just a great podcast episode.
Yeah. Never great when we lose a member of the Star Trek family. No. But he did feature in Star Trek Discovery Season 3.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
So, speaking of which, we end up in the future. And hey, everything sucks now. You can't, like, nobody travels a warp. And there's this Indian dude in the space station that we'd never see again after season 3.
And his name isn't, like, John Smith or something. Sorry, that's really important when it's Strange New Takes. We have to talk about this.
Absolutely. The most Indian of Indian men, Steve Simpson.
I would actually call out that it's a mirror to what we have in the real world as well, right? With a lot of people of Indian origin and ethnicity growing up in the U.S. now, second, maybe even third generation. And also names tend to be long, so they're abbreviated and converted into nice, simple Western sounding names. So there's always an excuse there.
Well, Rudy and Nash don't know anything about that.
Yeah, so a bit of hypocrisy there, but it was good. Do we remember his name?
Aditya Sahil.
There you go.
Played by Adil Hussain.
Yeah, so much potential and so much excitement, and he got commissioned and disappeared.
I know. Bring him back. Come on.
He got his dream and he's like, oh no, this sucks. Okay. He was like tending after the Federation flag, and like the first two episodes are basically Burnham showing up first ahead of Discovery and like living for a few years in the Burn world. And then when Discovery shows up, she's like, what the, like, where you been? Like, I've had it pretty bad around here. Because she's a courier.
Right.
Much like Book.
Yeah.
And she bumps into Book.
Right. And there's no more Federation. And there's no more, what else?
There's no Starfleet. Orions are like in charge.
When we find the Federation, we're like uncertain if they are the good guys anymore or not. Earth is no longer part of it. Neither is Vulcan.
There's no more warp travel as well, right? Or did that come back once the Burn? Because the Burn started.
There's no warp travel because there's a few things that happened. So like there's no dilithium because all of it was exploded by a little child who missed his mommy. The other bit is that there was reference to the Gorn throwing detonating an Omega particle device in. They just mentioned it in the first episode as like a that's why we can't even use regular warp even if we had the dilithium. But I think there's reference to like there's various other warp technologies that were created, like quantum slipstream drives and things like that. Obviously that makes it. That's why it's interesting to have a ship from the 23rd century show up, because it's now the only ship capable of going around the galaxy to yeah, just kind of see what's happening going on. And that's why the bulk of season three is Discovery refounding the Federation, and we get to see all of that stuff.
I guess they did still have Starfleet. I'm remembering.
Yeah, it was so just like no a small the Federation.
There's no Federation, Starfleet. But there's Starfleet. That's right.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
they have an admiral, and we're trying to decide if he's a bad admiral or an admiral. They keep us guessing a lot
yeah.
with him.
Yeah.
But I have to say, so the biggest disappointment, well, the dumbest thing to happen in all of Discovery was the child being the reason that the dilithium burned out. But
We'll get there. Let's
no,
just,
no,
let's
no.
Just...
I want to say one of the most disappointing things for me in season three was I thought it could have been, not that I, the Emerald Chain is obviously problematic, but that scene, it just like set it up for this really crazy, totally out there, totally different thing than Star Trek usually does, forging some sort of partnership mm-hmm. between the Federation and the Emerald Chain. I just thought they were on the cusp of doing something really groundbreaking, and they didn't.
Yeah.
So I was disappointed.
Welcome to season three and season four of Discovery. We say that a lot.
If y'all remember, they went all the way there and then they took a hard lift.
Yeah,
hard lift.
You guys do better than I do.
We got a lot of mileage from that quote from the trailer. Well, in all of this, we should also not forget two things. We forgot one thing in season two, by the way, which is that robot lady died in the episode where they
are.
Oh yeah, where we learned what her name was and like who she was, her whole background in one episode,
and then they killed her.
We should have known. That's typical Star Trek tradition.
Because the actress was all like, "I hate this makeup, please get me out of it," and so they killed her and brought her back as a different character in season three, which is great. I'm happy for her.
Yeah. Well, but no, isn't that the actress?
There have been two Ariums.
She was the first Arium, right?
Yeah.
The actress who's in season three was the first Arium.
Yep.
Am I thinking? Okay.
Yes,
okay.
You're correct.
So the second Arium, she's gone.
I think the second Arium, if I'm not very much mistaken, is actually played by a stunt performer who's like on a bunch of other characters on Picard as well. But I might be making that
interesting.
Up. Yeah, I'll look this up while we're talking. But so that happens. We should also not forget Lieutenant Nan.
Yes.
N-H-A-N in season three, who's like, she's the like bike red shirt lady in
season two,
Enterprise. And she stays on Discovery instead of going back to Enterprise when Discovery is going to the future. Right. And then in season three, this is relevant because I just want to mention there's a seed vault that like hides from everything, and it's Nan decides to stay back and take care of it because it's her species' turn to do so.
Yes.
And we didn't like that. I remember we didn't like the fact that they...
Well, I think it was like, I remember liking Nan, and then they're like, Nan's not going to be on the show anymore. Sorry,
yeah.
guys.
Yeah.
Like, okay.
They did that with a lot of characters. Like, I liked that Andorian dude, and then they killed him in season three. Right? He died in season three, right? It was played by the husband of Mary Wiseman.
Right. I vaguely remember that guy.
Oh, yeah, because he had had his antennae
chopped off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But yeah, I liked him. I thought he was a cool character.
Yeah.
What was his name now? Oh, Rin, right?
Yes.
Sounds right.
Yeah, Noah Averback Katz played Rin. The Andorian.
Yeah.
Yes. So I vaguely remember. So there's several episodes where they're all trying to figure out what's going on, find Starfleet. Then they find Starfleet. But in finding Starfleet, they drag the Emerald Chain to Starfleet. So the Emerald Chain figures out where Starfleet is. Discovery escapes to go find this like rando planet. And that's where you're saying, Emily, they have this like Emerald Chain Starfleet negotiation where that like powerful Emerald Chain lady is like, we could like control all of this together, and there's like almost a deal, and it could have been something very interesting. But then instead, we find this little Kelpian child in a derelict ship on this dilithium planet who misses his mother very much. And you know, I was still, even when we found the child in the maze episode, I remember being like, wow, this is really interesting. I actually like where this is going.
Yeah.
Until the end where we figure out it's him, his like reacting to his mother's death that led to the burn.
Totally agree. I was enjoying the episode until that moment. Yeah, I totally agree with you.
And then Discovery comes back and kills the Emerald Chain. The end.
Yeah.
And I remember we were trying to make sense of why, because one of the things like Discovery goes does well, as you said, Adam, was focus on characters, but they also tried to look at epic themes, which were important in that time frame, right? The late 2010s, in terms of the political landscape and, you know, things everywhere being sideways, the burn being a metaphor for that. And they try to focus on how we feel. Like, they try to go into the household, right? Like, focus on emotions, relationships, and all of that. And so that part makes sense. Like, you can appreciate the anguish of a child and all of that and the fear. But then they again try to connect it back to the epic stuff, which is, you know, like the burn was caused by the child. And where does that leave the viewer, right? It's like, okay, I'm trying to deal with my emotions, but my emotions are more important than like all of the galaxy, like it, or like
it's
the...
like if I guess I can understand it in some sense, because they like Discovery wants to give us those like character pieces, but then they also want it where they want everything to tie into the season somehow. But what ends up happening is it's like the Inner Light was a great episode. I don't need the Inner Light to be like how we defeat the Borg or anything like that.
And it's exactly.
I think a lot of these character pieces like would be better if it was just like, and now I just learned something like touching about Stamets and whatnot, and we just kind of like leave it as that, like I understand the character a little bit more. I get like some of the best of Star Trek, at least, like you get the character development, but then you like it can inform them later, but it doesn't necessarily it doesn't all have to cause everything and whatnot. But yeah, completely. So I think I can get why they're doing it. It's just it ends up feeling awkward.
So real quick, I want to reintroduce a few characters and names that we might have forgotten over time, which is one, Osira, played by Janet Kidder, was the Emerald Chain leader.
Yeah.
We talked about Rin earlier, the Andorian who was kind of Osira's thrall, let's say, for a little while, and then he escapes and kills himself heroically. Kenneth Mitchell as Aurelio, the scientist in the Emerald Chain. Jake Weber as Zare, the creepy-looking dude with the long hair who is Osira's henchman and, like, takes over the Discovery at some point.
No memory of this.
Sorry, dude. You are not memorable.
Let me reintroduce you to Zare really quick. If you remember...
No,
like,
I don't.
He looks like
I remember
Jacques
you talking
Renault.
About the Seven Samurai or whatever during that scene.
Yeah, Zare is the guy from the Seven Samurai episode where he's like terrorizing this like mining planet. Yeah, that's where Discovery shows up, and Discovery's sinking into like a living piece of ice, and people go to the mining world.
Yeah.
It was a good episode.
Oh, he's the one that shows up in the bar and is going to kill everybody.
Yeah.
Or
yeah,
okay,
exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
I remember now.
And then he shows up later.
He's like a cowboy or something.
Yeah. And then we also get to have the classic, like, I'm a Starfleet officer, therefore I know how to construct like a time travel device with some copper wire and whatever. She's able to end up outsmarting people and whatnot. So
yeah. So, just wanted to remind you of those characters before taking us back a little bit to one of, I think, Star Trek's Discovery's most regrettable plot lines. And I don't say this lightly, actually. I'm not joking. Stamets killing his boyfriend, and then his boyfriend coming back to life with mushroom magic in season 2.
Stamets didn't kill his boyfriend. Vok killed his husband.
Wait, didn't Stamets, like, twist his
neck?
Oh,
yes.
Wait,
actually, you're right. Yeah, Wait, didn't he?
No. No. Ash Tyler killed Hugh Culber. Is that who you're thinking of? Right?
Okay. No, but it's...
Stamets, when his mind is taken over.
Yeah, there's something that he...
No, Volk. No, Ash Tyler kills Culber.
Does Culber die multiple
times? But it's during that.
Volk gets reanimated or whatever, turned back on inside of Tyler.
Oh, that's
Tyler,
right. Ash
Tyler kills...
Tyler snaps his neck, and they showed it over and over and over again in the previously on Discovery.
And then Stamets finds him and is like cradling his dead body.
Through the mycelial network, he's able to find him, and they bring him back because they shouldn't have killed Culber in the first place, because that is another unfortunate aspect about Discovery is they tend to kill off people of color. And so they killed off Georgiou in the second episode. They kill off what's her name? Another woman. Woman of color with a totally white name.
She was
a security officer.
Yeah, but she was also from the
Rekha Sharma. But that's the actress.
Was she also from the Mirror Universe?
No. But we see her in the Mirror Universe, and she gets killed again. Yeah. Rekha Sharma is who plays her. What is the
Landry? Yeah, Ellen Landry.
Yeah,
because that's a
Yeah, it is a very Indian name.
Indian name. That's what I thought. And,
yes, but
come on.
I also remember that the producers of Discovery had to come out and be like, "Hey, don't worry. We I know we just killed the gay character. He's coming back. We promise."
Yeah, it was like they're like, the president of GLAAD is here with us to tell us that it's a good storyline and that we promise we're going to like make up for it.
But like that's what I wonder. Terrible. Did they really do it though? Like did they really do it with the intention of bringing him back, or did they take it back because they realized they totally effed up? And they needed to stop killing the characters, like the non-white characters in the story.
It was an incredibly stupid storyline, to be honest with you. It was completely unnecessary. And like, if you're going to do it, it's the same thing with Book, right? In season 3, where they kill Book and he comes back and you're like...
Season 4.
Four, right. Yeah. If you're gonna do something, do it. Don't rewind the tape and be like, "Oh, remember when we shocked you? We were just kidding." Like,
that is a Star Trek thing, though. They do that all the time in Star Trek.
Like I thought that at least like the way they were talking about it is like, "Oh, well, it like the way that we will like we're trying to go somewhere when we killed off this character, and like part of what we're gonna do is like." Like it's not going to just be like killing him off and then we just kind of like don't have men around anymore. Like maybe we deal with like how do people experience loss, or like how do you have a relationship with your partner after they pass away. Like I think that could have been a really interesting storyline and at least could have told something meaningful, but it sort of like we got into a little bit of trauma and whatnot, but it just ended up as we just kind of did a weird Star Trek thing and then reversed it. But
they do, at least they do have Culber wrestle with that stuff in season 4.
Yes.
So they do have some, they do. So I think what they do with it, the payoff is actually not until season 4, whether it is a payoff, but I just feel like the best thing that came out of it, since they were committed to doing this because they screwed up in season 1, is I think they did some good stuff in season 4. And I think that was the whole, I think the driving force behind the story in season 4 was so out of the pandemic. Season 4 is definitely a product of the pandemic. Like the storylines that they were doing, I think everyone in the world was doing a lot of wrestling with a number of things in the wake of the pandemic, because I mean, how often do we have something that touches everybody, right? And so that I think it did bring forth some interesting things in season 4, and we got Stacey Abrams as the president of Earth. That was the very end of season 4, right? But that's pretty cool.
That was cool. So I remember between season 3 and season 4, we were talking like, what do we want for season 4? And we were like, let's get a Rebuilding the Federation season, where we go from planet to planet and slowly try to... But then the trailers came out and we were like, uh-oh.
Well, I just want to point out to the three of you who were on the episode, and I was not, that reviewed the opening episode of season 4. That was the storyline of it, partially was trying to rebuild the Federation. They were going to this planet and trying to get them to join the Federation. And y'all hated that episode and gave it like a 4 out of 10.
Oh no.
So I just thought I would remind you of that.
We hated the thing that we wanted.
Kobayashi Maru.
That what we wanted, you did not actually like.
But I'm saying like that was going to be the plot of the season, was like, you know, like they were, it would be international diplomacy. It would not be world ending epic stuff.
Right.
It would
just be like that every other season.
But yes, there's an entity that is randomly gobbling up planets and we don't know what's going on. And hey, it kills books planet, because that's the kind of epic shit that Discovery has. It can't just kill random planets. Nope, it has to be one of our main characters' planets. And, like, of course, the little boy he loves dies.
Book's like, brother.
Yes, exactly. Book's brother and his brother's, his son.
Yeah.
Who is, like, you know, closest family, Dunzo.
Because we need to, like, create lots of trauma for our characters. We can't have them just, you know, anyway. That's also another thing. It's like, why do we keep creating trauma for characters?
I think it also to some extent, like, it cheapens what, like, can we can still have sort of like the trauma and whatever and have characters like get that emotional. It doesn't have to be that it was their entire planet was destroyed or whatever.
Right. But Discovery does everything really big.
Yeah. Which I don't know if you all saw the trailer that came out, I think it was like a week or two ago, for season five. Like, they are every single moment, I think, is going to have these gigantic action set pieces or whatever. It is going to be super epic, but it's an Indiana Jones storyline this time, so like maybe won't be like galaxy ending, but who knows.
We also have one of the people that we have in season four of Discovery is the lady who played Reich Marshal John Smith's wife in Man in the High Castle, playing the president of the Federation, whose name I cannot remember now.
She's a good character.
Oh, yeah. Bajoran, yeah. Cardassian, and human.
Yeah, yes. We couldn't remember if she... Laura Rillick, played by Chala Harsdahl. Yes. And we weren't sure when we were watching if she was going to be good or bad. Turns out she's good. And not like a terrible person.
Right. Well, it's kind of like the admiral in the previous season, right?
After they felt so bad about Lorca that they're like, okay, every other time we may have an ambiguous character, it's going to turn out that they're just good. It's fine.
Yeah. or we were just distrustful of everything the Starfleet the Federation threw at us.
Yeah, they made us... I mean, to be fair, like it was both Discovery and Picard season one had both set us up as like everyone is bad. Do not trust anyone in Starfleet. It is all bad people.
That's right. Yeah. Between season three and season four, we had Picard season one, which was like also just kind of a little bit of a mindfuck of like what the hell is happening in this universe. Like Starfleet are suddenly all like horrible people. And... Yeah, so season four now is the DMA, which I can't remember what that stands for anymore. Damn Mighty Android or...
Dark Matter Anomaly.
Anomaly. Dark Matter Anomaly.
Yep. Which phases out of existence and phases back in every so often. And then
it's the Dark Materials. No, I'm just kidding.
His dark Materials. Yeah. Speaking of the one who does have some dark materials in his head is Book, who goes off on his own. Like, basically, Book's, like, trauma leads to him breaking up with Burnham and going off and being very evil with the guy who we were talking about before, Sean Doyle's character, who did he turn out to be, like, from a mirror universe or something like that?
He's trying to get back to a different universe.
Not the mirror universe necessarily, but a different universe because it's to be with the person he loves, right? Because
exactly, Ruan Tarka is like he was imprisoned in some prison
and fell in love with the person he was imprisoned with, and then betrayed him. Didn't he betray him somehow? Like there was some, I can't remember exactly how that played out, but.
I think it was something like only one of them was going to be able to escape, and so he made it be himself or something like that.
Yeah, Tarka ended up having to leave Oris behind when he escaped the chain. They both made a promise to one another to meet in Khaleesi. He kept the scar left behind after his control device was removed as a reminder of his grief at the promise he had made.
Yeah.
Yes.
I remember Reno being really good in some of those scenes.
Yes.
Because they captured Reno and we were all worried, like, are you seriously gonna kill
like you better not kill you better not
kill one of the best characters you made. I remember being really interested in at least in the idea of like having Book be a villain. I thought he was a like maybe a lot of the sort of like how we got there was contrived, but I I think that some of Star Trek's best villains have been ones where, like, you kind of get why they did that, or like what they're trying to go for and whatnot.
Which is exactly why it would have been so interesting if the Emerald Chain and the Federation had worked something out, or Starfleet had worked something out, because that's what was... Like, obviously, there were very problematic things that the Emerald Chain did, right? You know, mm-hmm. I mean, there was, you know, they enslaved people. I mean, so they're very problematic. But I found compelling the way they were talking about, like, the Federation doesn't pay attention to, like, the Federation really touches certain segments of populations, and it ignores other things that are happening. And so there are so many people that are left behind, and it's just... Anyway, it was just really a compelling storyline, and they didn't do enough with it.
Well, but that's that book that covers Burnham's, like, year in the Burn Times before Discovery comes from. It says more about that. Basically, right. Starfleet was not beloved, and the Federation were not beloved of the galaxy even before the Burn.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So in this season, though, we don't deal with much of that. It is mostly chasing after the DMA, and there's a huge bomb that Tarka and Book have that they're going to set off.
Oh, wait, we forgot about the reunification of, or the unification did happen with the Vulcans and the Romulans. Romulans
and Nevar.
Yes. So anyway, I think that was an interesting story they brought. Mm-hmm. And then the Vulcan woman who, you know, she and Saru hit it off, and there was some interesting stuff with that. And and Burnham's mom is a Romulan nun now.
Romulan.
It's one of those things where, like, that sounds extremely stupid. I was for that part. That was one of the good parts.
It's a Romulan.
I don't know if that says more about that plot line or the rest.
Those Romulan nuns are legitimately some of the best of new Star Trek.
Yes, Picard did a good job with that whole thing. It was just very funny that Burnham's mother is now, like, back. And
all right. Are we calling them Romulan nuns?
Romulan nuns.
Yes.
That's great.
We are now.
Yes, Romulan nuns.
Okay.
Nice, Rudy.
At the end of season four.
Ale in their abbey.
The end of season four, we're chasing after the DMA. We find this species called Species 10C. They're in, like, another galaxy or interdimensional space. I can't even remember now. But they're, like, these energy creatures. And Discovery finds them, because that's what Discovery does. And then they have a chat. And they convince them that, hey, please stop with your energy harvesting. You're kind of killing us. And then, you know, just when we think, crap, they actually killed Book, they're like, nope, he's back. And that was the end of season four. Is Book basically being sentenced to some prison time and community service.
Which I will say, like, we had talked, like, about different theories about, like, exactly what was up with that. I think I had a thought at the back then of, like, I wonder it, because they also mentioned, like, okay, he's going to go, but be in prison. I was wondering if, like, Book isn't actually in season five, and it's just a way of explaining, like, he's alive, but, like, that's why we won't see him at all. But at least we have seen him a couple times in the trailer. So I think he will be a character still, although maybe he's only 15 minutes edited in at the in their, like, wrap up.
I mean, it would be dumb if he's not a character, because then they should have just left him dead.
Yeah. That's kind of my my feeling. Yeah. Like, maybe if they thought that there was going to be a season six and they'd bring him back for that one or something. But Well, I guess we'll see. But I will say, Species 10C, sort of, like, getting close to figuring them out and like the initial, like, learning, I think that's some of, like, the best alien work that Star Trek has done in a long time. I mean, yes, some of it might have just been copy pasted from Arrival, but like, that was a good ass movie, and you should go watch it.
I like that
movie. I remember that now. Well, we ended season four with Tilly and Ordit Farrar's admiral dude whose name I can't remember. Vance. Again, very Middle Eastern name. Admiral Vance and Tilly, like, sitting on the abandoned Federation Starfleet HQ ship. They're having a drink, toasting to the end of their lives, and then, you know, everything is saved and they're all gonna be okay. And this season now, we're gonna get something or the other where It was supposed to be an interstitial season, you know, just another normal season in Discovery. But three quarters of the way through the cycle to get it out there, they were like, nope, it's actually going to be the end.
And they'd already finished filming, yeah. Right? They had to go back.
They had to go back and film new scenes. So it's going to be interesting to see if there's like Paramount. Little, yeah, exactly. Well,
my understanding is that it's not like new scenes. It's like a 15-minute wrap up at the end of the last episode. Mm-hmm. So we're not getting like a new episode. I don't think they're sticking stuff.
They're not going to get a new episode with like Riker and Troy like in the holodeck.
that's what it is. They're editing in 15 minutes of that.
Oh man, good times. I think the only thing we haven't talked about is the short treks. Discovery had a few short treks, one of which is probably one of my favorite episodes of Star Trek ever.
Calypso.
Yeah.
Which was about go ahead, Adam.
Well, no, we'll never find out. But yeah, it's the Discovery has been thrown like 1,000 years into the future, has no crew on it, or maybe hasn't been thrown 1,000. It's been out for 1,000 years, has no crew on it. We see someone who's from the is he from the Vedresh?
No, he is running away from the Vedresh.
Yeah, which as we discovered later, the Vedresh is what the Federation is called in the Burn timeline. It ends up setting up a lot of season 3, but then they never actually connect it, and they kind of retcon how that happened. So, but I think the writers have said several times like, no, it's still canon or something. But I don't really I don't get how it is unless we like go another 1,000 years in the future.
Discovery processing the sphere data makes their computer into Zora. Mm-hmm. So Zora, the computer voice that we hear in Calypso, which is so Kraft, this character who finds his way onto Discovery, he makes friends with the computer Zora, and they have like a relationship, and then he finally leaves at the end, and it's very mm-hmm. bittersweet. But what we have seen from Calypso is Zora, the computer voice, get created in season four of Discovery.
Yeah,
season 3.
So, yeah.
I can't remember. One of the two seasons, she like the computer like processes the sphere data and
I think it's season 4.
Yeah. Becomes the computer Zora. So who knows? Maybe we'll get it, but I just wanted to call out that is some of the best Star Trek that it is mm-hmm. out there, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Okay, we spent 1 hour talking about Discovery and recapping. I feel much better about going into April 4th and watching a new episode of Star Trek and here seeing what Discovery is going to show us next. We also need to pick something to watch for next week, because next week is not Discovery, or we could take a week off, whatever y'all prefer to do.
We can watch all of Discovery in
yeah. I can totally do that because it's Holy Week and I don't have anything going on during Holy Week, so
I famously have a lot of free time, so yeah. Yeah, so maybe not, but
we could watch Calypso and then
there you go.
That we'll be able to detect if they did something for real.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll have to see. We'll have to think about what we want to talk about. Maybe we don't try to make that decision right here, but we'll see.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Sounds good. Any last thoughts before we finish?
I just wanted to call out that through Discovery, especially in season 3 and 4 in the Burn world, we got to look at some new ship styles, especially in terms of Book's little... What is that? Programmable matter and like stuff hovering all over the place. Not connected anymore. So
yeah.
We were a little worried. I remember that there was some control, remaining in those. go ahead.
I was just thinking, I also have to say that we have Discovery to thank for this podcast. Because Discovery is how Strange New Worlds came to be. And Strange New Worlds, the creation of Strange New Worlds is why we started this.
Yeah.
and also some like homage to, as Nachi was saying, Star Trek characters that passed, with USS Nog. It was great to see that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And it was nice to see Voyager 2, I think, as well, somewhere in there.
Voyager J.
There you go. Yeah. So... curious to see if ship design and tech is also something that they take to the next level in season 5.
I think that I have seen at least some ship shots and whatnot, so I'm excited about that. I'm particularly excited about Prodigy showing us the Voyager A. I'm gonna be very into that when that happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's pretty exciting. And the Doctor, hell yeah.
Yeah.
We do have a bunch of stuff to look forward to this year. We also got a new season of Strange New Worlds filming right now. It'll probably come out in 2025, but looking forward to that as well.
Yeah.
Okie doke. I think that's it. That's all she wrote for today. thanks, Emily. Thanks, Adam. Thanks, Rudy, for joining us.
Thanks, Notch, for bringing us here.
Yeah.
And, thanks, Notch.
Thank you, Bill and Reed, for our listeners. I hope you remember your two other co-hosts who are not here at the moment. Hope they're doing something fun right now. And I think Bill might join us next weekend, hopefully.
Yeah,
thanks to you, listener, for turning this back on after a few months being like, what the fuck is this? There's a new episode. And then you were like, okay, hit play. All right, I'll see whatever the hell this is.
Well, here you are. And then you're yelling at your iPod or your iPhone or whatever because you're like, God, why can't they not remember this?
Yeah, seriously. Because we're normal people. I think that's the charm of this podcast. Yeah, we're normal people. We're not like, you know, memorizing all of Star Trek. Thank you, Justin Guha, for recording our theme music all those years ago. Love to hear you shum away at the Klingon theme. And special thanks this week to the word epic that I used a whole bunch.
It was epic.
It was. It really was. All right. Thanks, everybody. See you next week. Goodbye.
Bye. Bye.